The Lord be with you.
And with your
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." They then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and will you raise it up in 3 days?" But Jesus was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. By the words of the Gospel, may our sins be blotted away. Please be seated. As I mentioned at the beginning of the Mass, today we are celebrating the feast of the dedication of the Basilica of our Most Holy Savior and St. John the Evangelist and John the Baptist at the Lateran in Rome. That's quite a mouthful. But this is the day on which the first Christian cathedral was dedicated, the first public seat of a bishop, in fact, the Bishop of Rome. St. Peter's, which has become to be the symbol for the Catholic Church, if we see a news broadcast and the dome of St. Peter's appears behind the newsreader, we know that we're going to talk about the Church. But for many centuries, it was the Lateran which was the symbol of the papacy. It was there that St. Francis of Assisi went to the Pope in order to get approval for his order. It was there that for many centuries the popes dwelled. It's only after the Middle Ages that the popes come to live on the other side of the city of Rome, near the Vatican Hill at St. Peter's, or in the palace called the Quirinale, which is now where the President of Italy lives. But in the year 324, 10 years after Constantine had legalized Christianity and ended the persecutions of Christians, the palace of a family named Laterani was given to the church to become the first great public church building. And at its dedication, Pope St. Sylvester inscribed over the doors the words, "This is the house of God and a house of prayer, the gate of heaven, and the mother and head of all the churches in this city and for the whole world." Now, when we celebrate the dedication of a church, we're not simply talking about the building, no matter how worthy it is, but we are talking about the wonderful gift that Jesus has given us in establishing his church on earth, a church which is for us the source of truth and guidance, of light, but also of life through the sacraments and love through the community of service and Christian charity. All of that is tied up in this mystery. In the time of the Jews, there was only one temple, one church. That was the great temple of Jerusalem. There were other holy places, and there were synagogues in every town and village, but a synagogue was a classroom. It wasn't a place of worship. The people might pray there, but there was no altar, and there were none of the rituals that could only be carried out in Jerusalem. That was the single sign of God's presence with his people, and it was built to enshrine the Ark of the Covenant. the evidence that God had joined himself to his people. But with the coming of Jesus, something new has happened. Now God dwells in human flesh. The Son of God has become man. His body is the temple of God on earth, as Jesus says in this gospel passage. And because God has become man in Christ, we have a new covenant, one made in his blood through his sacrifice on the cross. And that covenant is renewed throughout the entire world, wherever Mass is offered. And as a sign to us that Christ is ever with his people, he dwells with us physically in the sacrament of the Eucharist, in the tabernacle. So churches are multiplied throughout the entire world. Some of them are glorious cathedrals, and some of them are the simplest mission stations. But in every one of them, the power of God is present, and the holiness of God is given and shared with his people. Our churches are set apart. That's the meaning of the word consecrated. To be set apart, to be dedicated for one use and none other. So this is a holy place belonging to God. That's why we act in certain ways when we come into church. That's why we build our churches with a sense of sacred space and architecture and with wonderful symbols. Now, this is important for us in our parish because this is the month of our dedication too. The Church of St. Pius X was dedicated 30 years ago on the 24th of November. And this church, at that time, was set apart for the worship and the adoration of God, so that we could come here and find here the living Christ in all of his power. So it's good for us to talk about the dedication of a church in this month when we remember our own. Our churches are meant to be constructed in ways in which the sacred and the truths that we believe shine through them. So churches always have a sanctuary, a holy place built around the altar where Jesus renews the gift of himself to us. We focus our attention on the crucifix, where we see the image of our Lord in his suffering. We find in the center of our churches the living, glorious Christ in our tabernacle. When this church was designed, great care was taken to have it reflect those things. So, for example, the altar is at the east end. Why? Because Christ comes from the east and will return from the east, like the rising sun. Many churches in Europe and throughout the East, Greece, Russia, the churches of the Orthodox are all constructed in this way. Your church has been built in this way. The church is built on St. Peter and his confession of faith. And Christ Jesus is the cornerstone of the church, we say. But among the other symbolic descriptions that we find in the New Testament is the idea that the apostles are the pillars of the church. That's why you have 12 pillars in this building. The first two are in the vestibule, but there are 12 altogether for the apostles. And when the archbishop came and dedicated the church 30 years ago, he took holy chrism, the same blessed oil that was used on the crown of your head when you were baptized, and your brow when you were confirmed, and my hands when I was ordained. And he marked on the walls 12 crosses. Those crosses are now marked by the wreaths this season. There are two of them also that are here behind the pillars in the apse. And under each of the crosses, He lit a candle as a sign that the light of the apostles' preaching is still to be found here for you. Now, not all churches are dedicated. Not all churches are consecrated. Some of them are just blessed. If we build a little chapel in a hospital or a nursing home, it's blessed, very simply, as a holy place. But the Archbishop doesn't come and do what he did for you. The only time that the Archbishop will come and dedicate a church and consecrate it is when that church, the property, the land, and the building are the clear title of the parish and the diocese. So you were able to have your church dedicated because your mortgage was paid up. The extra property of this parish was sold in order to build this church. And so you were able to construct the church, burn the mortgage, and have the church dedicated 30 years ago. That's quite a testament to you. There are very few churches that can have that happen. I know of only two others in the Archdiocese. Usually the mortgage is living for a long time after the church is erected. What is our church then? Our church is a sacred place where we come to hear the word of Christ, where we are guaranteed by his promise that we will know the truth and the truth will set us free. It is the place where his sacrifice is renewed so that we may know his forgiveness and mercy and the strength of his grace for daily living. It is the place where we come with our families in times of joy and sorrow to seek the blessing of God on the new lives of our little ones born and to commend to him the souls of our loved ones who have left this world. It is a place where we can arrive alone and lonely and know that we are neither alone nor in solitude, for he is here. It is a place, too, where we realize that in our belief, in our struggles and our efforts to remain faithful and true in the midst of this noisy and busy and demanding world, which is so confusing, there are others like us around us who are living with the same burdens and struggles, the same questions and fears, and who have been called together and gathered as a community of faith. So when we come to Mass, it's not just with our family members. It's not just in the presence of friends. And it's not just in the presence of strangers whom we know by sight. We are joined, invisibly but truly, to men and women all around the world who are part of Christ's mystical body and who are themselves, as St. Paul tells us, living stones, part of a living church, present in all nations at all times and giving great glory to God. So a feast day like this one is meant to remind us of the awesome purpose of a simple building and the awesome dignity that is ours. Christ has made each one of you a temple of his glory. Because he has dwelled in human form, so he dwells in you by grace. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit dwell in you through the sacrament of baptism and a life of grace. And they want you to be strong and happy, to live in truth and goodness, to both find here contemplation and adoration and the mission to go out into the world and bring Christ into all the other places where he is not and the many places where he is rejected. You carry him with you when you leave here. You bear him forth. And even when you are not speaking of him, you must learn to speak to him. so that prayer and conversation with Christ become part of your continuing day, and your decisions, the challenges that you meet, are all met and measured in His presence, so that you may have His peace and His power. So today we do give thanks for the Lateran Cathedral, for the first Christian cathedral, dedicated 1,790 years ago on this day. And we give thanks for our own little church, dedicated 30 years ago on the 24th of November. And we give thanks that we have such churches to come to, and that when we leave our churches, when we go back to our homes, when we go to work tomorrow morning, we carry Him with us, and He carries us and bears us through the difficulties of this life and the seas and the surges of the waves, and brings us safely home to a new Jerusalem, to a heavenly kingdom, to a place of light and life where there are no strangers, and where every question has been answered and every joy given. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.